Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication call-in show on LA Talk Radio. I am Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of Dr. Pat Allen's WANT Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of world-renowned psychotherapist Dr. Pat Allen for more than 50 years. The WANT Institute offers help and guidance with relationship and communication tools. We currently offer ongoing monthly ladies groups facilitated by Dr. Pat Allen, myself, and Kelly Ward. We also offer one-on-one relationship communication coaching. If you want more information on our monthly ladies groups or one-on-one coaching, please call the office at 949-723-0338 or email info@drpatallen.com, or you can check out our website at www.drpatallen.com. The ladies' groups start the first week of each month. Also, please stay tuned for our 5 o'clock show in which Patricia Eltinge, Dr. Pat Allen's colleague, will interpret your dreams. Before we get started, please grab a pen and paper so you can write down the call-in number. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. If you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the call back as well as enter the number in your contact list to eliminate the call going to spam. Tonight we have Dr. Pat Allen on the show, and we also have Kelly Ward is returning back to start talking to be our guest host on LA Talk Radio. Kelly Ward, are you with us tonight?
I am. I'm here.
Welcome back.
Thank you. How's everybody tonight?
Everybody's doing good. We'll be taking calls probably at like 4:30. I'm not sure if Dr. Allen will take calls, but Kelly and I will. And on the other line, we have Dr. Pat Allen will be doing some teaching. Dr. Pat, are you available?
Yes.
Okay. You had a question that you wanted to talk about transactional analysis. Do you want to tell the audience?
What I want to do is I want to give you the reason that you need someone to help you spiritually do and speak the right things. And so I am a transactional analyst, and we will do that.
Oh, okay.
Excellent, Dr. Pat. That's wonderful. So I have a question for you, Dr. Pat. As a transactional analyst, how do you delve into what the problem is?
That's it.
What's your technique?
My technique is basically androgynous semantic realignment. I help people make decisions rationally instead of emotionally. I have 10 groups of 5 women that hire me at the Institute to help them communicate with men, families, bosses, anybody that needs to be helped to be sound of mind. Here's an ancient statement. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Are you a man that wants to do good to feel good? Or are you a woman that wants to feel good to do good? Or maybe do you even want to be both, which is narcissism? So what I do is I use language to help you with your character, and that impacts your destiny. Words are impacting your jobs, your neighborhoods, everything, your politics, your religion, and that's what I want to help you negotiate. How to negotiate words into a good life.
That's okay? Wonderful, Dr. Pat.
Pardon?
That's wonderful.
Good.
Do you have anything else you want to share with the audience? Some wisdom of teachings that you wanted to share?
Well, I want to share the idea that each of us needs to be an individual. But the problem is people like families and politics negotiate us into somebody we're not. That's your script. I do script readings on Friday for people that want it. And I teach communication whenever anybody is talking to me in the Institute. So with that in mind, I would really dearly love to either start my idea question, or do you have one for me?
I have one. I pulled this up. Can you go over the types of relationships, you know, where it's the convenient, do you remember that? Codependent, covenant?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's a beginner start to help the audience.
Okay, first of all, whether you're straight, whether you're gay, or whether you're lesbian, you're basically, you have a body that's feminine or masculine, but you have a soul. And that soul, for example, a man has a man's body, but he has a female soul called the anima. A woman has the female body, but she has a soul that's masculine, the animus. So how many people are actually using the body to communicate? Four, not two. And in relationships, you've got to decide how the four of you are going to dance. Are you going to be a slam dance where you just fight man to man and woman to woman? Or are you going to talk codependently, like one of you owns the other one? Or are you going to basically move to Louisiana and sign a contract that is for covenants? And that's one which basically, one person signs a contract after they get married that they're going to pay the bills for the family. And the other person is going to sign a contract that they're going to work from home only. They're not going to go out to work somewhere else and not be there for the kids or the family. And a lot of people, a lot of women in particular, get a fantasy that they would love to stay home, take care of the kids, and basically just grow together. The only problem is she may get bored with just taking care of the kids and the house. She may want to go down and work for some clothing agreement place. Well, that takes you out. That's not a covenant. So here are the types of relationship. Convenient. In a convenient relationship, you're both male, but not at the same time. One of the first things I ask people is, do you want to be respected first and cherished second? Or do you want to be cherished first and respected second? So whoever gets, and it could be a man, we're all male and female. I always give a book to read. The book by John Sanford, and by the way, don't forget to read my book, Getting to I Do. The Invisible Partners. Remember the Invisible Partner? What's the man's? Anima. And there's a book for that too. Women have masculine souls called the Animus. So the book, The Invisible Partners, listen to what it says on the cover. How the male and the female in each of us affects our relationships by John Sanford. And here's another book about this. This is by Carl Jung's wife, Emma Jung. She was kind of his backup and his office manager in Europe, where he set up an institute. This book is called Anima, Animus. Two essays by Emma Jung. So with this in mind, when a couple comes together, they want to be compatible. They want to be communicating, and they want to be spiritual and sexual. If they want to get married. So with that in mind, here is my first direction. Do not have intercourse without a commitment. And I want to give you a direction right now, and maybe Sue, my daughter, Ann, or Kelly will give you the direction to the website.
Info. We will. Yeah.
Okay. So here's the deal. I put a show on there, a 2-hour show in which I demonstrate compatibility, communication, chemistry. 2 hours. I believe it's still free. Is it?
It is. Yes. It's on our website. Our website, www.drpatallen.com. DrPatallen.com. There's a tab that says free access. It's chemistry, compatibility, and communication and relationships. You just click on the red tab and it'll show you it's a streaming video.
So with that particular 2-hour show and reading Getting to I Do, plus maybe later on in this, whatever you're doing, you'll read all the books I recommend, and then your office will look like mine, which looks like a library, which is fine for me because I like books. So with that in mind, chemistry is one element that science traits, but you can impact chemistry by being drunk. When men misuse mind-altering chemicals, they become very, very feminine and want to feel good sexually right now. And they often want it without a commitment. Oh, that's just religion. You don't need that. We just want to play. And so with that in mind, I teach you how to handle the communication when a man is talking you into having intercourse without commitment. Because when you do, now I'm going to start telling what happens. your body may like him, but you don't. But unlucky enough, he talked you into having a drink or two, and so you now are in your male, not wanting, but not knowing how to say no. So with this in mind, chemistry, compatibility, and communication is backed up by chemistry, which is written up in my book, Getting to I Do. And what happens is, if you're a woman, you may be bonding to this human being physically, and then you find out he's not compatible and he can't negotiate anything with you. And you, how can you build anything with somebody that you can't negotiate with? So I teach people how to communicate so that they can channel the chemistry through their body spiritually, as well as sensually, as well as healthy for you. So with that in mind, you don't have intercourse unless your body says yes. Chemistry is nature. When a woman is with a man that she is chemically attracted to, she's often tempted to give him free sex because she wants it. The only problem is, if he's a young man, like under 40, the problem is he can have casual sex at that age, but she can't, because her body produces oxytocin when he penetrates her body with his penis, orally, anally, and vaginally. So with that in mind, I want to right now say to whoever is a woman and is listening to this, please do not have uncommitted sexuality. And when I say committed, I mean no intercourse unless you have a monogamous, continuous, long-term, your design. If you want to be married, you basically cannot do sexuality before you at least have a promise ring, an engagement ring. I don't know any other ones, but do that. So with this in mind, a convenient relationship is started, first of all, within the first 3 minutes of smelling her. I'll speak to the men. When a woman smells good to a man, he likes that physically, and he will try to make love or have sex, or, oh, God forbid, rape you. And you've got to be able to communicate, and I'll show you what I tell. I appreciate, I'm the woman. I appreciate you're interested in me sexually, but I cannot and will not have casual sex that may bond me to you when I find out you're married and we're not even compatible. So the answer is no, whereupon you may get a lecture or two, and God forbid you get raped. But if that happens, you call the police, because when you've got to maintain your integrity as an individual person through the process of getting mated or married. Mating is when two people don't want to legally marry. They want to mate. And basically, they both have to want it. And it's usually for older people that have been married before, and they don't need that contract. They're willing to have a mated relationship in which they're monogamous, they're continuously dating, but they're not living together, because living together is more like playing house. So if you're listening to me now, you're seeing what I'm doing. And if you're talking to me, I'm teaching you how to apply it. So the first type of relationship I'm talking about, well, no, the second. I already explained the covenant in Louisiana. I checked with it. Someone checked for me, and they're still having a covenant marriage in Louisiana, wherein you sign documents before you marry, which say that you will not get a divorce ever. You may separate because you hate each other, but you won't get a divorce in Louisiana, and no other state will recognize your divorce because you don't have one. So it literally, the covenant relationship blocks you from any marriage in Louisiana, and thus any state in the country, because states recognize each other's contracts. So I told you an overview of the covenant. Now I'm working on telling you the convenience. It's where both people are going to make a living inside the house or outside the house, or they're going to decide to put dollar for dollar or dollar for percentage. They're going to negotiate time, I time, we time, us time. They're going to negotiate we time, and they're going to negotiate how much us time you're going to share. And if you talk to me, or you join one of Sue or Kelly's groups, I have 10 groups of 5 women in each group now. I have a waiting list, and we have 2 people that are totally certified, which is a 3-year program that I've taught a bunch of people. But Sue and Kelly are certified as trainers, and if you go to them, you become a demonstration model of what my people teach. And one of the most common and possible relationships is the convenient one, in which both people want to work outside or inside. She wants to bake cookies and sell them in the parking lot. They want to work and make money and either put in dollar for dollar in the bank account, or the checking account, or the whatever account they sign up for. And they first of all decide who's going to be the respected head of the house. It can be the woman, because the woman has spiritually got a soul that's masculine, and a man can stay home and be with the kids, while the wife is a lawyer. See, what I'm doing here is I'm taking science, and I want to give you an article. This article was written in Canada And I liked it so much because it speaks to the science of oxytocin and vasopressin. I've already mentioned oxytocin. When a woman allows a man to penetrate her body with his penis, that's oral, anal, and vaginal, she is literally risking him producing, triggering pituitary oxytocin in her body. Now, I'm positive that unless you've talked to me, read my books, or read other books that I've already given you two more for anima and animus, if you are not up to your skills in communication with my language, which is everybody is both masculine and feminine, and you have to decide which you want to major in when you get into a relationship. And the relationship starts as soon as he or she asks for intercourse. And I definitely do not approve of people living together without being engaged, especially if there are kids watching, because you are now scandalizing them with inappropriate science behavior and inappropriate money behavior. And I want to read, this is the Frontiers News magazine from Canada. Oxytocin and vasopressin. Vasopressin is what men are born with or not born with, which causes them to be monogamous. I saw about 6 months ago in this country, America, they are now taking tests of baby boys before they're 3 months old to see if they've got vasopressin in their body so that they don't become polygamous animals. So the truth of the matter is vasopressin is causing men to become monogamous, and oxytocin is causing women to become bonded to the man. And if he's not vasopressin appropriate, and there's a blood test, it's not evident now because this is very new information and is not going to be all over the country until they really use it and test it. I just wanted you to realize I'm looking at the article now, and if you talk to me, I'll give you more information. So here we go with the convenience. You've heard me, you've read my book, you've done something, and you're a woman and a man has dated you and said, I want to make love to you. I want to work on getting married to you. How do you feel about that? You see, they already know. Women need to feel good to do good, and men need to do good to feel good. That's part of the training, except some women are really more masculine, and some women, men, are more feminine. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about the four entities in every couple. Four. Two men and two women. So whoever is the most masculine says, I want to make love to you. I want to sleep with you. I want to live with you. What do you say to them? Well, if you've been with me, you may have read conversational rape, which is him talking you into doing something not good for you. Or maybe you say, well, I appreciate your interest, but I don't do casual sex. I will not make love or have sex unless I'm committed to you. And in fact, I want a ring on my finger that says I'm taken, so men don't bounce all over my phone and car and everything else to get me into bed. So these are the things. And you negotiate four things. Time. How much time do each of you need to be alone? How much time do you want to be dating? How much time do you want to socialize and have dinner parties? So time has got to be negotiated after you accept an offer, a proposal of getting engaged and married. Space. Where are you going to live? Does he live in New York and you live in Los Angeles? Who's moving? Who's going? Where is it coming and going? My book, Getting to I Do, and my newest, latest book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe. We women are in charge of communication, which uses oxygen, doesn't it? Men love things. And when they're chasing a woman for sex, she's a thing, not a human. The Dalai Lama once said, people are created to love one another. Things are created to use. But today, people are using people for sex, and they're using things for love. Especially money, which is the next category. So the second negotiable item is, where are you going to live? Who's going to be respected first, cherished second, and requires that he or she has to have somebody who wants to be cherished and respected second? And these are all communication techniques I teach. So you've got to negotiate who's what, respect or cherishing. And you've got to know if you want to be a woman with a career or a career woman. Because that takes you outside the house and makes you a moneymaker, which I'm just talking about. You're sharing money, time, chores. And if both of you want to be career women or career men, you've got to have a really good babysitting nanny or grandma, or somebody has got to take care of the kids. Unless you're not going to have kids, because that's got to be negotiated. Are we going to be a family? I already have three kids. You have two kids. That's five kids. So people come with kids or they make kids. And this all has to be negotiated. Basically, you've got to know who you're with before you have intercourse. That's compatibility. And if you're listening to me right now, we've talked almost a half an hour, and I've still got one more relationship to talk about. And then I'm willing to answer questions about what I've taught. But I'm going to teach now codependent. What is a codependent relationship? Well, you're a woman and you've got a secretary's job and you've met a man and he wants to work on getting married to you, except that he doesn't have a job. and you've got one, and are you willing to fund him while he's making money? Maybe he's in the army. Who knows? But it's a relationship in which one person takes care of the other one codependently. But if they like it, so say for example, I had one couple, she used my tools, which we call my tools. She used my tools, he did everything my way, which is morally, ethically, and legally, and they got married. And by that time, he was making money, and she was a great homemaker. They had a very convenient, in fact, I don't remember that she even had a job. They were really acting like they were in a covenant when it wasn't Louisiana, and that's okay because it's voluntary. So with that in mind, they were a couple. They had had a couple of kids, and his company, not his, that company that he worked for, collapsed. Bad time, done. She, having been trained by me to respect, men have to be respected to feel cherished. And if they're not respected, they will not cherish a woman.
That is so true, Dr. Pat. That is so true. So Sue was just saying I think we're going to do something a little bit different now. How does that sound?
Who's talking to me now?
Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
It's Kelly.
What did you say?
I said, we think that this has been really amazing. Sue wants to do something a little bit different now. Hey, Sue, what are we going to do?
Well, we only have a couple minutes left. So we want Pat to be on for the teachings and stuff. And me and Kelly are going to stay on and talk a little bit more to the audience about our services, about the WAN Institute. And if anybody wants to call in and ask any questions about our groups, and then we'll have Dr. Allen back on next week. And if anybody wants a topic or a question answered by Dr. Allen, please feel free to reach out to me at the office at info@DrPatAllen. If there's a topic or a question you want answered, a lot of people cannot join live. So we will take questions via email and answer them on the show. And then you can listen to the archives. Please feel free to do that. With that, Kelly, go ahead. And if you have any questions or...
I want to give the sentence.
Okay.
She went to work and I supported her totally. She paid the bills for a year or so. And then he got a magnificent big job. And he came to her and said, "You wonderful woman, you took over where I dropped the ball because the company went down, and you are now going to quit your job, and I'm going to reward you for taking on our relationship." So I'm saying what you're saying, Kelly. The woman respected him when he had a problem happen, like an army soldier getting shot or an accident in a car. I have no problem negotiating anything as long as the couple is negotiating time, space, money, and play before they live together or act like they're getting married. Now, you've got to be compatible, communicate. So there, I'm backing you up now by that sentence.
Great. Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome, Dr. Pat.
Thank you for calling.
Okay. Okay.
We love you.
Thank you for being on your show, and we'll call you back next week. And do you have any closing words for the audience?
Why can't we answer his question?
No, we don't have any callers right now. We're just going to do some advertisement.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, being honest.
We'll have you back on next week to take some. We'll have people email.
Have I done?
Yeah, you're done for tonight. Thank you.
Did I do a good job or not?
You're good. You gave a bunch of information for the audience to take in, and if they have any questions about it, they can call in next week or write me an email, and we'll answer it on the show.
You got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. We love you.
I love you all, everybody. I want to help you love each other, please.
Bye-bye, Dr. Pat.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right. So that was so much fun. Dr. Pat's information is so important and so vital to what we do, helping people communicate. And it's so much fun in the groups when we go. I have a great time with my ladies. They are so amazing. And they're reaching and stretching, and they're finding love. They're finding happiness. They're finding that self-care is not selfish. Sue, how do you feel about doing the groups and interacting with your ladies?
Well, I have a lot of ladies, and what I'm finding is we're working through a lot of their masculine and feminine wounds that they developed from childhood that they're carrying on to their current relationships. And it takes a lot of self-awareness. It's scary. A lot of ladies are afraid to work through their pain. They would rather do self-sabotage. But I've been working. They come and go back and forth, two steps forward, two steps back. But they're starting to make some progress, which is it's always rewarding to see the work they've done. But if there's any callers that want to call in, Kelly and I are more than happy to answer any questions if we have any callers, Sam. If not, we'll still continue to talk about our groups and the work of Dr. Pat Allen. What did you gain with working with Dr. Allen, Kelly?
Oh, my goodness. You know, when I first discovered Dr. Allen, I was very young, and I read the book Conversational Rape. And it had a profound effect on me. I remember just sitting there in the chair.
Oh, sorry. And Kelly, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have a caller in. I'm sorry.
Oh, nice. Hey, caller.
Hi.
Caller, you're on here with Kelly and Sue. Maybe one of us can help you with the question. Dr. Allen's not on. She was on earlier. What can we help you with?
Hi, Kelly and Sue. I'm the lady with the widower.
Oh, yeah. Baby. I remember. Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm getting impatient, but I'm trying. So I would like for us to go to like a music concert, because so far we've just been going to eat, and that's fine, but I'm gaining a little bit of weight. So I want to go to a music concert or something. I live in the Atlanta area, so there are a lot of musicians coming in, artists, but I don't know how to bring it up.
Let's see. How many times has he taken you out?
We started dating. Our first date was in November of last year. And I had dinner with him Christmas, New Year's. January, we had one date. February, none. March, we had two. And now it's April.
And he's taken you out and spent money on you?
Yes.
Okay, because usually Dr. Allen has the thing where for every two dates, you give back one. If you want to invite him to the concert it is, you could do that and say, you know, you can say, I have something I want to ask you. Is this a good time? And then you could say, I've had such a great time going out with you the past couple of months. I'd like to take you out to blah, 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 blah. What are your thoughts on joining me?
Okay.
Now, because you are making the date, so you will be paying, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Kelly, do you have any extra words on that, what I just told her?
I really love that. Yeah. So it's your date, and so you will be paying. So another way you could do it, if you didn't want to obviously ask him out on a date, but you could say is, I have come into the great thing of getting a couple of tickets to pick a band. And I'd love if you would be my escort. How do you feel about that? What do you think about that? So, you know, if you don't feel comfortable actually asking out on the date, you could make it like he was going to escort you. But just being in his presence and interacting with him that way, you know, it could lead things on.
That's another way. You could invite him as an escort. You buy the ticket and tell him you bought these tickets and you'd like him to come with you.
Okay. All right. That's not expecting you to say though. Okay.
Well, we can't ask. We cannot direct him how to date you, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And one interesting thing is when you first talked about it, you said you would like, which means you would like him to take you to a concert, but you're not expecting it.
Okay, so how
do Dr. Allen talks about if somebody said, if you're selling your car and somebody says, I want to buy your car, or somebody says, I'd like to buy your car, who's going to buy the car?
The person who says, I want you.
That's right. That's right. So you weren't really expecting him to do it. Is there a reason why?
Well, concert tickets are expensive. So I'm projecting onto him what I'm thinking. So I'm not
right.
going to ask
so it's
him.
It's a negative projection.
Yes.
So Sue, okay. Do you think she could make an appointment and ask him how he feels about maybe going Dutch on concert tickets because they're so expensive?
Well, then she's still kind of designing the date. You're still coming across as masculine because he doesn't get to design the date, and they're not even really
right.
in a relationship. They're just dating. So he's basically
yeah, right.
a doer.
Okay, so what I'm getting ready to do, I'll just go by myself.
What you could say is I want to go to this this concert, and I'd love for you to join me. However, I do not have enough to cover both tickets. What are your thoughts on joining me? And we each paying for our own ticket. You could offer it like that.
Okay. Okay.
Well, we want to hear what you decide, and we want to hear what the outcome is.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you both. Thank you.
Thank you. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. Kelly, do you have any thing you want to tell the audience?
Yeah. Sign up for our group. Go visit our Facebook page. Follow us and keep communicating. It's important. How about you, Sue?
I just want to say we have our April ladies groups already full, but we are taking registration or wait list for May. Kelly has ladies groups. I think it's Monday and Wednesday in the early afternoon. And I have a few in the evening and morning. So if you and Dr. Allen has some, please contact me at the office at info@drpetallen.com. Or our phone number is 949-723-0338. Join us back next week. Dr. Allen did a little bit of teaching this time and we didn't have enough time for callers, but we'll work on that for next week. Or you can always email me with your questions and we'll answer them on the radio and then you can listen to them on the archives. So with that, do you have anything to please also remember that at 5:00, we have Patricia Eltidge coming on. She's going to be doing dream interpretation. Please stay tuned and log back in and listen to us at 5:00. The call-in number for Patricia is 323-203-0815. That's from 5 to 5:50 tonight. Please stay tuned with that. Kelly, you have any closing words?
Nope. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye, folks. Thank you for joining us tonight. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Susan Wagner again from the WAN Institute. Thanks for staying with us for the second part of the Dr. Pat Allen Call-In Show on LA Talks Radio, Empowered Communication. In this part of the show, Patricia Eltage, author, Dream Analysis and Transactional Analysis, will be taking your calls about nighttime dreams and relationship questions. Patricia will be explaining how to capture your dreams, what dream symbols represent, and how through understanding the messages that our dreams give us, we can improve our relationships and our lives. You can purchase Patricia's groundbreaking book, The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself, on Amazon or through her website, www.thedreamclass.com. You can also reach Patricia directly through her website. Please let me introduce Patricia Eltage. I am here. So here we are. Let me leave the call-in number as well. Patricia is also a relationship coach, so she can take relationship questions as well. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. You can call in with relationship questions or to have your dream interpreted. So, Patricia, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a transactional analyst. I have been in the health field for many years, since the 80s, and I had a holistic health clinic for many years in California, and I got deeper into the dream world psychology, then specifically the dream world within psychology, because I found that people weren't really getting wholly well in all aspects of their life until they got their heads together and really understood the workings of their own inner workings of their subconscious. So that's how I got to it in this way. And I also want to say that I do script work that is a form of transactional analysis that Eric Byrne developed. And this is where I send you a form and you work on a questionnaire, 27 questions, to help pull out the ways that the programs have been downloaded to us from the time we were born, even in utero, by the way, from our parents, our schools, our churches, the media, our friends, teachers, etc. And when we pull all this up, we can discover how those influences have influenced us, but have made us, helped us or hindered us. So we can sort it out and keep the things that continue to help our lives, or we can learn how to discard or eliminate the parts that no longer serve us. So that's one part. Then the dream work. The dream work is so wonderful and intricate. It is an actual fast track to understanding the inner workings of your own subconscious mind. And that's what I say I teach people, to get in touch with their own sixth sense through the dreams, because the dreams are a reflection of how you are truly thinking and feeling, because our subconscious mind is unfiltered. And the dreams come to us in terms of symbols so that we can reflect our true thoughts and feelings, because our conscious mind is filtered. Our daily lives are filtered just so we could get through life. We're continually taking in data through all of our senses every day, every hour, every second. And then we are mixing it up, categorizing it, filing some of it, and paper shredding some of it in the back of our minds. That then can be used at a later date to help us bring us messages from our subconscious bubble up through to our conscious mind to help us navigate how to deal with all of our issues, including our relationships, our workplace, our family issues. So when people are ruminating, let's say, when they're can't make decisions, oh, should I do this job, or should I go with this person, should I quit this relationship, oh, I don't know what to do, I always say sleep on it. And in my book, I talk about how to capture your dreams, and how we capture our dreams is to keep a pad by the bed, write down a question that you might want answered by from your back of your mind, and you will dream something. Even though it seems kooky, it will be some kind of reflection to give you a message. So the messages do come through. Now, upon waking, this is the trick. Here's the secret, right? The secret to being able to capture the dream, besides having, people like to have a dream catcher, one of those symbols behind their bed. A lot of people have actually Dr. Allen gave me my first dream catcher many, many years ago.
Yeah.
As a symbol.
What's the reason for those dream catchers?
Well,
what's the background of that?
Well, because in American Indian cultures, they honor dreams, as do still many cultures. Uh-huh. And that's why we're trying to bring it forth in our modern society here in the Western culture again. But the American Indians honored what was coming up for them in their dreams, and they wanted to capture it. And they also thought it could capture and protect them from the negative dreams. But all dreams wish us well. So even if they seem like the word we always used to use was nightmares, they're really just scary images that are bringing us messages to help us. So that's what that dream catcher gizmo was designed for by the American Indians.
Mm-hmm. Where does the word nightmare come from? Who came up with that word? Do you know that?
Well, the nightmares. The mares is the horses of the night. Female horses galloping across your brain. So they were considered scary. But Now we know that those, and a lot of times people have, as did I, and this is how I got interested in the work in the first place all those years ago, and I've been doing this for over 25 years, but the repetitive dreams are really telling us about unresolved issues. So those unresolved issues are trying to bubble through to us to please resolve us. And that's how we get to the scary images rather than nightmares. And because the dreams wish us well, the dreams want to bring us to consciousness and want us to understand the workings of our true thoughts and feelings. So that being said, will you want to tell everybody how to call in?
Yes, the call-in number, if you want. Patricia has also been trained by Dr. Allen. She's a relationship coach, and she also worked with Dr. Allen, and Dr. Allen helped her put together her book, Patricia's Dream Book. So Patricia is Dr. Pat Allen, too.
Yes, that's number, right. That's
and
right.
I'm number three. And
yes,
Kelly's
right.
Four. Okay,
yes, right.
323-203-0815. If you want a dream interpreted, or if you have a relationship question. The first part of the show from 4 to 4:50, we have Dr. Allen on, and then we're turning this, the 5 to 5:50 show over to Patricia, because we've had a lot of feedback about having dreams interpreted. So we wish Patricia well on carrying her message with dreams. So if anybody out there wants to call in, we appreciate your call in or your dreams. Oh, we have a call. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia Eltinge.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the call with Patricia Eltinge.
Okay, hello. My name is Maya, and Patricia, this is the third time I'm calling in.
Wonderful. Did you have a positive experience with the dream interpretation?
Yes.
Great.
Yes, I'm learning how to interpret my own dreams.
Wonderful. And, do you have the book?
I have the book.
Wonderful.
And I have one that I'm really stumped about. And this is a repetitive dream in which I am going all over the place. I'm traveling. I'm here. I'm there. And in reality, or in my waking life, I don't want to go anywhere. Maybe to the pool.
But in your dream.
So which one is me?
Well, your subconscious mind is, they're both you. I'll tell you why. They're both very valid and they're both you. Well, in your dream life, what is it you're doing specifically? You're just traveling? You're in what form of traveling? Or you're just in different places? I want to know more specifics.
Yeah, I'm in different places. I'm taking a train somewhere. I'm going to, you know how you read about things and you hear people, they got on a train and they do this. And it sounds good for 5 minutes. And then when the reality comes to it, I don't want to go anywhere
but,
now.
But it's not really about that. What it's telling me, when we're talking about, if in the dream you're on a mode of transportation, it's reflecting your way through life. And it doesn't mean about traveling. It means what's going on in your way through life that is a little bit chaotic. Is there something going on in your life that your way through life is somewhat chaotic?
Oh, the whole thing is chaotic and always has been.
Okay, well, this is what it's reflecting. If it's always a different mode of transportation, you're going here, you're going there. So how I connect your dream to having you understand what's going on in your waking life then and what to do about it. Now we get into how to manage your angst from your subconscious mind about the chaos in your life. Is what can you be doing to cut the chaos? Let's see if we can cut the chaos somehow. What do you think you can do to bring more peace to your waking life that is giving you anxiety and chaos in your life? What can you be doing?
So because I'm dreaming, it means that it's anxiety?
Yes, that's a dream that it's not settled. It's not a settling way through life.
Right.
Do you feel settled at this time? Are you settled?
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, that's what this is telling me. So let's do something about that. What can we be doing? What can you be doing to bring a settling feeling to your life and a less chaotic feeling in your life? Let's talk about that.
Well, I'm sorry to say to myself, move. And moving is not something that
moving
less chaos.
Well, that you're feeling angst about that too. Moving, it's chaos, but can you find a place to move where you can settle?
Yes, that's what that's what I'm doing.
Is that a goal? Is that a goal to find a
place? That's a goal, yes.
Okay,
it's
well,
a goal.
Knowing that you have a goal is a way to start bringing some calm to your subconscious mind.
Yes.
Knowing
exactly.
That the goal is to find somewhere to settle. you will move towards that goal. Once you state it, put it on paper. I get people to write on in their notebook. I have everybody get a dream journal, whether it's a spiral notebook or fancy book, but have a specific book next to your bedside that is your dream journal. And you write, where will I settle? Ask your subconscious mind, I want to settle. Tell yourself, I want to be settled. Where will I settle?
Okay.
And you will start getting other kinds of images than these chaotic images.
Like, you know, like a beach umbrella and the waves.
That sounds good. Or where else? Let's talk about it. Where do you think? Let's just talk about it now. This is what I do in my work. Can you picture yourself with your eyes closed? Where can you picture yourself feeling settled?
Oh, someplace where there's sun.
Sun. Okay. And you have experienced that anywhere in the recent past? Have you had a feeling of, not that you've been settled, but a place that where you could find that?
Well, I live in Southern California, and I did hang out on the patio this morning in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it needs to be and now I think maybe even sunnier, like maybe the desert.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. See, this is what you have to do. You have to get to solution. Once we discover the problem, then we move into solutions and how to find
now,
a solution.
Isn't that a masculine thing, thinking of goals and
no,
and
those
solutions?
This is no, solutions will bring you peace. But when you will use part of your math, but you'll see how you feel about it. That's why I say write it down. Your masculine side of you will write down, you just mentioned desert. I'll write down the desert. How would I feel if I lived in the desert? Go to sleep on that thought. And then you will know how you feel about that in the morning, how that would feel to you. How do you imagine that would feel?
Mm-hmm.
So this is how we're
tuning in. You're focusing on yourself.
Yes. What feels good to you, not what somebody else thinks is right for you.
Exactly right.
So someone may make a suggestion for you and you go, great, I'm going to put that on my book and see how I feel about that in the morning.
So, and the same book could be your dream book, right? Where you write
yes,
your dreams down.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. That's right.
Oh, I have. Can I ask you another question
yes.
or have I
yes.
used up
no,
all
no,
my time?
No, you're here with me.
Okay. If you don't write your dream down and you remember it later and you think you're remembering it clearly, that remembrance that you have later, is that embellished?
It can be, but it doesn't have to be. I suggest you keep your eyes closed upon waking. This was what I was about to say before. Upon waking, keep your eyes closed for this 3 to 4 minute period called the Lyman state, which is the state of consciousness between sleeping and waking, where you are able to capture your dream, even if it's just one image. Maybe you see a picture of a desert. So you write down desert. Just scribble with your eyes closed. Scribble. It's just your book. Nobody's going to see this. Scribble the word desert, if that's what you saw in your mind, or a cactus or something. You saw a train. In this other dream, you told me you saw trains and boats and planes and whatever. So, but keep your eyes closed. You'll be out of that state of consciousness within 3 or 4 minutes anyway. But if you do open your eyes, you're out of that state instantly and everything is blurred. People always think when they're waking up, oh, I had the most amazing dream. The second they open their eyes, they go, now what the heck was it?
Yeah. And that's a long time, 3 to 4 minutes.
Yeah, but it's enough time to capture an image. It's not that long of a time. Let yourself wake up slowly. You don't have to bound out of bed. Allow yourself that luxury of that 3 minutes. We're all moving so fast these days. We are not able to stay in touch with our subconscious minds for our psychological well-being.
Exactly.
So do you want to try that? So do you want to try this exercise?
Which one?
The one I just discussed about keeping your eyes closed upon waking and writing down when you in your book before you go to sleep. And first of all, fantasize in your waking life. Daydreaming is valuable too. Daydreams are excellent to keep your subconscious mind working. So imagine yourself during the day and even write down in the day. I imagine myself living in the desert with a pool, with an umbrella. Okay, then on another page, I imagine myself living in the middle of the country in, where would that be? Name a place.
Nashville.
Okay, Nashville. Imagine yourself, how that would, so write it down. Put it on paper. It solidifies the question to your subconscious mind. And then say,
that's another for me, but I'm from the writing down stage of life.
Yes, very good. I appreciate that. So you write something down, and this is all in this book. This is your personal subconscious mind book. This is, even goes deeper. This even hits down into your unconscious. That's the depths. And then things bubble up from the unconscious through the subconscious up to the conscious mind, hopefully sooner than later. And so you will start writing these imaginary, I imagine myself living, name another place, just a random place, Washington or Oregon. Imagine, so each page has this imaginary place, and then you contemplate on that. I also recommend people meditating. I'm a big fan of meditation myself, and you can meditate on and contemplate on the questions that you're asking your subconscious mind and see how that feels to you in your body. Check in with your body when you think about, when you're presenting that to yourself, you check in with your feelings about, here I am in the desert, it's nice and dry. Imagine how that would be on each different type of location.
Okay.
So that's a way, but also daydreaming, night dreaming.
Mm-hmm. Dreaming.
Uh-huh.
I always get information from you. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate that. And
I'm turning into a Patricia Eltinge groupie.
Oh, good.
Well, she's on every week at 5 o'clock, so join us.
5 o'clock, depending on where I am. Yeah.
5 o'clock Pacific, and it's 8 o'clock Eastern. That's right. So I thank you again, and I love hearing about your progress and your dream journal.
Okay, and this time I am definitely, even though all my blank journals were packed up and put in storage, I'm definitely going to make sure I have one for my dreams.
Well, go to the store and go to the CVS.
Right, and buy another one, even though I have 40,000 of them in storage.
They're no
Thank
good in
you,
storage.
Patricia.
Thank you so much, Maya. That's very nice. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's called before. I've heard her a couple of times before in the past.
Very
she's
good.
Working.
Well, I love my peeps who stick with it, because, dream journaling and trying to understand your dreams is a practice. It's not something you get instantly. Everybody dreams, by the way. Even our animals dream. You've seen them kind of running and twitching in their sleep.
Yeah.
Everything dreams, all animals.
We have a call. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia Eltinge. Do you have a dream or a relationship question?
Yeah. Hi, okay. Patricia. Hi.
Hi.
Actually, I don't have a dream, but I've been reading your book, Patricia.
Oh.
And there's, yeah, it's great. I recommend it to everyone listening, in fact.
Thank you.
And it is easy to understand, and there's parts that are a little more difficult. So I wanted to ask you about this part where you talk about how if a male symbol appears in my dream, that could be a symbolic of the feminine force or energy, as you call it.
Not a male symbol. You mean a male person, a male person.
Okay, a male person or a male symbol?
No, let me clarify this. Okay. A male symbol would be something like a dog. So that is a masculine, that will have a masculine attachment to it. So we're talking about, when we say masculine, the masculine images refer to our productivity, our workplace, our money, and that side of life, the masculine, considered the masculine side of life. So, but if we're talking about that if it's a person, that would be a female person, because that's the Jungian paradox, and this is the masculine that's inside of a woman and the feminine that's inside of a man. It comes out this way when it comes to people. But if we're talking about in the hierarchy of dreams, people, nature, and things, then things are a table, a chair, a car. Those are inanimate objects. Those will all have a masculine or feminine energy attached to them. So if they pop up, and that's at the lowest rung of the things in the hierarchy, is the lowest rung of something in your subconscious bubbling up. You're just starting to get the message if it's a thing. When you go up to the next level, which is nature, that would be landscape and animals, we're getting a little bit closer to coming to consciousness about the message. That would be lakes, rivers, trees, landscape, and animals. Okay. So then we reach the hierarchy at the top, which is people. Now, when we come to people, there are females and male figures, whether they're old or young or babies. So the female figure, a woman specifically, if it's a woman, then we're talking, that's where the paradox comes in. So then we're talking about the masculine energy within the woman. If it's a man, we're talking about the feminine energy within the man. So that's where it gets a little tricky in the interpretation, but people who've been with me for many years are getting good at it. And the main thing is to keep, what I told the last caller was, keep practicing. This is like anything new you learn, you just keep practicing and your dreams will be come to you more readily, and the messages will keep coming, and your life will improve by understanding your dreams. I know this to be true because I've been doing this for a long time, and the people who've been with me for a long time are flourishing from knowing what's going on. They are developing their own sixth sense. So did I answer your question about the masculine and feminine energies of symbols in the dreams?
Yeah. I just was going to ask you just a little further on that, because I noticed that you brought in the Eastern philosophies into your work, and you have this diagram of the what's it called?
The yin yang symbol. Yes.
Oh, yin yang. So does that explain the masculine and the feminine?
Yes.
And the masculine.
Since
how does that work?
since you have my book, if you open up the page where I depict that, it shows that swirl, people might remember what that looks like, and it's a circle, and within the circle, there are two, a black swirl and a white swirl. Now, the white swirl is the mask, represents the masculine energy, and the black swirl represents the feminine energy. And this goes back to ancient times. And within each of those swirls, the white swirl has a black dot in it. And that represents the anima within the masculine energy. And this is what, and the black swirl, there's a white dot, which represents the feminine, the masculine energy within the feminine energy. So they're complementary forces, and the world and the universe operates off of complementary forces. This is what we want to understand about ourselves and our relationships, especially, is the complementary forces that all things are energy. So when you have two of the same energies, they will clash like magnets. If they're polarized the same way, they will not stick. If they're opposite polarities, they are a match. And we're talking about the masculine and feminine energies, just like positive, negative charges, just like the sun and the moon, the light and dark. The energies of the universe are complementary forces, and that's what that symbol represents.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that definitely helps, you know, because it is a little complex. And
it's complex, seemingly, but the dream, do you have a dream or any dream symbol you have had recently so I can show someone what a symbol?
I haven't written down the dream in a few weeks, to be honest.
Oh, you get out of practice.
Yes, yes, but I definitely know and have kept journals, but no, I need to get back into it. I've been studying your book, as I said, a little bit at a time, and this was just that symbol, like you call it, the yin-yang symbol, you know, that does help that, and I don't know, I may just get a hold of you for a private, you know, through your website.
I encourage that.
Go a little deeper into, no, I mean, not just the, you know, the teaching that you give, but how it applies to my own dream.
Well, I like to apply your dream. Call me when you have a dream, because then we can, like I did with the last caller, then we apply the dream to your waking life so that you can move forward. And a lot of people say how the dreams, understanding the dreams, help them move forward in their life where they felt stuck, whether it be in their relationships or their workplace, their family relations. It's a great tool to be able to move your life forward.
Well, I appreciate it. I have used your book and the concepts, and they've helped me, and I've called in sometimes, so I appreciate it, and I'll figure out, I guess it's through your site that we can set up an appointment. Or
thedreamclass.com. That's okay, me, and my book is found on Amazon again, and it is The Dream Class by Patricia Eltinge. Me!
Where can they get a hold of you if they want to set up a private session?
That's thedreamclass.com, okay. Or they, you know, sometimes they call my office directly if they want to call my office. And that would be 310-528-0515. And I'm here for the universe, for the to bring you,
okay,
I want you to all have a flourishing life. And this is a fast track to understanding yourself so that you can have a flourishing life.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'll let you guys go.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
And thank you, Sue. Okay.
Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
Dr. Allen was talking, she does script work. Tell us a little bit about you working with script analysis, life script.
I think there's a caller here, maybe.
No. Oh, yeah.
There caller. Is.
Oh, okay. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia Elton. Do you have a question?
I do, and I have a dream, and I've worked with Patricia before, and it was a pretty involved dream, but I will do my best to be succinct.
Okay. Let's all go right. For it.
Okay, great. So it involves three men, and it all takes place outside or on the porch of a house.
Mm-hmm.
So as the dream begins, I am coming onto the porch having just met with a man who basically is proposing marriage to me.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so then...
Can you describe this character type of this man?
No, because it was more of a memory. I knew that it had just happened. Didn't happen in a dream.
Okay.
You know?
It had happened. Okay. Go ahead.
It had happened.
Okay.
So then I go onto the porch and I'm meeting with another man who is some sort of celebrity. I don't know who he is or what, but he's some sort of celebrity. And he also is very interested in me and is proposing marriage. And then I sort of interrupt that conversation because a third man, and this happens to be an old boyfriend, sort of a lost love, it wants to meet with me. So I leave the porch and I go meet with him. And he's also proposing marriage. And I understand, though, that it is a marriage that wouldn't work.
The third one.
Mm-hmm. And so I go.
What was the character type of that one?
Playboy.
Okay.
Handsome, rich playboy.
What was the one, the second one? What was his character type?
The second one was some sort of celebrity.
A celebrity. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so then I go back to the porch and begin a conversation again with number two. And that kind of, that's kind of where the dream ends. But as I'm going back on the porch, I'm thinking in my mind, oh, wouldn't Pat Allen be so proud of me? I'm dating three men at the same
that's
time.
That's right. It has permeated your mind and your soul. So the system is embedded. Okay, this is good. So now the first one was someone you previously had known. Is that what you said?
It was more that I didn't really know too much about the first one. It was just that as I was walking on the porch to meet number two, I sort of knew that I had already talked to number one.
Okay. So this is like what's that? What door number? What was that show? The Bachelor.
Yeah, right.
Bachelor number one, Bachelor number two. Okay. So the dating game, right. So... what is going on here? It's not literal. So I imagine, are you dating in real life? In waking life?
I am.
Okay.
Yes,
but
I am.
This isn't about those people. They're symbols of how you are feeling. Now, all of a sudden, it seems like the house represents you. That's the self, capital S, as in your whole psyche, your conscious mind and your unconscious. So that's your whole entity, but you go outside of yourself out onto the porch and you are experiencing how you feel. These men, these three, bachelor number one, two, and three, are all different sides of yourself. Everyone and everything in your dreams is representational of some aspect of yourself. So the first one, you have no clue of the type of it was. It was just a feeling that you were desired.
Right. And that he was, you know, he was an acceptable guy, and I was okay with it, but I had just kind of...
You were checking out the... Okay.
Right, exactly.
So, well, this is what you imagine what you're doing in waking life, since you understand the program. but it's your feeling, in your inner feeling, of feeling desirable. You are desired. You have a sense in yourself that I'm sensing that you have this now sense of self-worth.
Wow.
Because you, in this dream, you are desired by three of these, represent feelings, but you
right?
feel desirable.
Okay.
You feel desired, which is a
wow.
sign of self-worth. Now, the one that you think is, that you say the play, you're going to reject the playboy type, but then that's that side of you you're rejecting. There's a playgirl mm. side to you, too.
Mm.
Am I right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. I just
been
always
there, done that,
got the
t-shirt.
Okay, so that aspect of yourself, you're ready to reject. So you are coming closer to wanting to be partnered, I'm suggesting. Because you're rejecting the playboy type, which is
right.
an aspect that you've had yourself from what you said. And so now it's down to, what part of you will you affiliate yourself with or own so that you can be in a healthy relationship? And you said the second one was a celebrity type?
He was. And, you know, when I'm thinking about the dream now, mm-hmm. he was kind of the one I kept coming back to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had left the first one, you know, mm-hmm. not left him in a negative sense.
Oh,
but
you
I
just
had
walked
just,
away.
Mm-hmm. Right. And had gone on to the second one. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I kind of put him on hold.
Yes.
And went to the third, but I came back to the second.
Well, let me just say, the fact that you, I call the dreams kind of like a play. We create a play okay. in our minds that depicts how you are really thinking and feeling on any given situation. Now, you are ready to be the star.
Mm.
You're ready to pick the star side of you. And that's another sign of self-worth.
Wow, that's great. Thank
so
you.
You are worthy. You are worthy of being in a top-notch relationship, because I didn't make this up. This is your dream. I'm only reflecting it back to you.
Right. Now, the fact that in my dream I incorporate that Pat would be proud of me.
Yes, I'm sure she would.
What is it?
Because, not because of necessarily the three, but she would be, she represents, when we have a teacher in life, and people often say that I come into their dreams too, and this has been the case with Dr. Pat over the many years, when a teacher or a guru comes into your dreams, or your subconscious, a daydream even, it's that their messages that you've learned from them are sticking and coming through your subconscious. So they become, they actually, so I just want to say this, when even when they're gone, there's gurus who've come and gone, but their messages are have become part of the higher consciousness of their students. So then we own what they have taught us, which in this dream you have.
Wow. Well, that's wonderful, Patricia. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that dream. That's a wonderful dream. Thank you. I appreciate that you have written it. You've taken the time to practice and keep on trucking.
Okay. Thanks.
And call again.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. We've got 5 more minutes left of your show. Do you want to go over your life script, what you do with life scripts?
Yes. This is the life script.
Another caller will cut you off.
You do it. Cut me off. Okay. Well,
we have another caller. I'm cutting you off. You're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question or a dream?
Oh, hello. Yes, good afternoon, I guess it is.
I'm here for you.
Hello, Patricia, and I really admire your work.
Thank you.
I had a dream a couple of nights ago. The first one, I was in a car. I wasn't driving. I was in a front seat with a gentleman. I say a gentleman. He was awfully scruffy. He was very dirty. He had a T-shirt on. He's a stranger. I don't know who he is, but he was driving the car. Mm-hmm. It was night. The following night, I had another dream with a lady driving the car, and she is someone that I knew in my life, in real life. Mm-hmm. I don't actually have a connection with her anymore. She was more or less chauffeuring myself and friends to places we wanted to go to, mm-hmm. and I felt very guilty that she was the one doing all the driving.
Good.
So
what was her character type besides chauffeuring?
I would say that she was very unstable mentally. Mm-hmm. I think she suffered from bipolar. She told me that she was on medication for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was very unstable.
Okay.
So otherwise very smart. She was a mm-hmm. teacher. She was a teacher in real life. She teaches Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
What I want to tell you is there more to that dream? Those two dreams, because they're related.
Yeah.
So when you are in cars represent our way through life. Now it's very interesting. The first dream you told me came first?
Yes.
Okay. Well, when you're having a man behind the wheel of the car, that is your feeling center. That's your feminine. So you're feeling scruffy and not good in your feeling centeredness in your way through life is feeling a feeling about I'm not feeling good about my way through life right now. Now this because you connecting with this because but then the next one who's taking over the wheel is your masculine side, and you also don't feel a good you aren't. That is the one who is unstable. The character you chose in that play is a little unstable. So you don't want to be going through life with your masculine at the wheel, I'm understanding. And that's your choice. Some people would want that side of them to be driving the car. But you, in this dream, you're telling me, your subconscious mind is telling me, that you really don't want your masculine to be running your way through life. Correct. So what we need to do is go back and clean up your feminine, what's going on with your feminine side, so you can go through life, but clean up your act.
Right.
With your feminine leading, you being grounded in your feminine, let your feminine lead you, but let's clean up your act. What's going on in your life where you need to clean up your feminine act?
There's nothing. I say nothing going on. I'm not in a relationship, but I do want to be in one.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be a relationship, but maybe that's what it means.
Right.
It's scrubby. It's not where you want to be, because it needs to be cleaned up. So what can we be doing to help you clean up your act so that you can feel good about your way through life? What is it that you would want that you don't have?
I do want a companion in life.
That's good.
What I don't have is the confidence. I think it's the confidence that I lack. And I am a reforming man.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was definitely a man in my previous relationship, in my marriage, I should say. And I am recovering. And there's still some residue behind there. You know, I
see that in the dream, and that's why we're going to clean up your act. We're going to clean up your feminine act, because clearly you don't want the masculine side of you to be running the show. You do want the feminine side, so we need to be cleaning up your act with your feminine. So how
Patricia,
you do?
I just want to cut in. We have a couple, just a minute or two left. Oh. So if you want to hurry up and finish,
yes, we'll do. So what I'm going to tell you: join a group, call me for a private. I'm here for everyone. I take short sessions, long sessions, and I only charge people for how much time they use. So feel free to contact me. And what time zone are you in?
I'm actually in Hong Kong time zone. So it's actually 8:50 in the morning.
So I'm East Coast time. I'm on Eastern time. And I get back to people through, you can go to my website or even my my other email, which is patricia@patriciaeltinge.com or thedreamclass.com, and set up an appointment. I'll get back to you on email or leave me your WhatsApp phone number, and we got to go.
I'll get online. Thank you.
Call
us back next week as well, though. Call us back.
Oh, it's I will.
5:50.
Thank you, lady. Yeah.
I will say, you must believe that your past is not your future. And that's what I help
you. Oh, my God.
Do.
I need to hear that. Thank you very much.
Well, come do a script. Come do a life script with me.
Yeah.
Will do. Thanks very much, Patricia. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Okay. You want any closing words, Patricia?
Well, I just said it, and that is, believe that your past is not your future. It takes courage to grow up and turn out to be who you really are.
Okay, thank you, callers. Join us next week from 4:00 with Dr. Pat Allen and at 5:00 with Patricia Eltinge. See you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.